Father, thank you for your incredible grace upon our lives and in all of these things, the lessons we learn and the experiencing that we experience and knowing you more and how you do so many things in situations that we would never learn if everything was just going so well with us. So we want to thank you for life. We want to thank you for how detailed you are in every aspect of our lives. And today we want to praise you as you share with us again in your Son, as you speak to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the joys I always find is many times I prepare, like this first song I prepared just yesterday, and it's so nice when you have praying in the morning and they give you and it's such a confirmation that today is a day of the authority of God setting us free. His word and us listening to him and the freedom that you and I can experience. So there's a tremendous grace today to help us to the areas where we struggle, the areas where we battle to surrender and give up, the areas where we've tried so hard and we're just not getting the victory. Today is a day to receive the grace of God. That is a day of freedom, a day of tremendous breakthrough in one's life. So I trust that you will and I will receive what our Father wants to share with us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 is our portion of scripture we want to have a look at. There's so much insight to the whole of the chapter of Hebrews about where we are and what's happening. And some time back when Holy Spirit spoke about the power of faith, the power of truth, and the power of love, all in this chapter 12, we see the flow of that all the time. And so we want to touch a little bit this morning on some of the things that are so important for us at this time in our history and our lives as children of God. And so in chapter 12, verse 1 in Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who have disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to our Father of our spirits, and live? Our Father disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at this time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And then he carries on about making every effort to live in peace, etc., and holiness and so forth. And then he starts to speak about the old covenant at Mount Sinai and the mountain, and how If you walked onto that mountain, you're going to be killed by God because of the holiness and the presence of God. And then he starts to speak about the kingdom and about the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem that you and I have entered. And he says over here as we conclude that chapter, therefore, since we are receiving, or look at the verse before, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, we've got some incredible insights here for us at this time. We have been speaking about the reality of being in Christ. That's the realm that you and I live. We are not of this world, and that's why we are seeing over here where God's word says very clearly there that he'll be shaking everything that's created. But the kingdom of God which we are in, this heavenly Jerusalem that we are in, cannot be shaken. So how do we live in a realm of being shaken in an unshaken kingdom? How do we navigate? How do we run the race that God has set out for us? How do we keep focus? How do we find ourselves going through while everything God is shaking, but we are living in an unshakable kingdom? And that's what we've been looking at, because we're in Christ. He's not shaken, okay? So how do we live in Christ Jesus? How do we live? How do we move? How do we have our being in Christ Jesus? All of this is very relevant for us at this time. We can see the world's never going to be the same again. It's the wars and rumors of wars, etc. As Jesus said, it's going to increase. Let's not try and pretend that, oh, there's going to be peace, etc., etc. There may be peace here and there, but Jesus has spoken. He has spoken. It shall be as he has spoken. How do we live as children of God in such an environment? So God is helping us to apply and to be able to get established in what he wants to share here in the first few verses concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to be in him. And it comes to this area of faith again. Have faith in him. What does that mean as we grow more in our understanding of the faith of God? Sometimes, and also I think God wants to help us to understand his love, because many, many times we don't want to accept that God disciplines us. Now, that's a mean God. But God loves us, and that means we will be disciplined. We cannot deny that. So our perspective, our human definition of nice and God loves us, etc., God wants to just squash that, because we're going to go through hard times. And you've got to know God loves us through hard times, okay? And he's involved. It's about us learning and being trained by his discipline and us participating in his holiness. So that's what we will be seeing more and more. So here in the first few verses, or chapter 11 first of all, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have these incredible examples of men and women that has lived a life of faith. Their names are recorded in Scripture. They are examples of humans living by faith. But each and every one of them doubted. They all compromised. They all had their ups and downs. They are showing us how you and I battle in the area of faith. And so we have this human example of men and women that have lived. And you just have a look at Abraham, the father of faith, and yet he feared Pharaoh and he lied to Pharaoh about his wife. What an example of compromising. But God, you've given a promise, but I doubt that promise now, and I'm going to have to lie because my life is going to be killed. See, and he's an example of faith for you and I. We see David, a man of faith, conquering kingdoms, you name it over there, committing adultery and murder. All these are human examples. And so the writer is purposely giving us these human examples of men and women who are examples of faith, who lived by faith, but all are flawed, all are weak, all have made mistakes, and yet they are recorded as men and women of mighty faith. And we are surrounded by their witnesses, by their testimony, so we learn. And then he says, but now let me show you the perfect example of a human who lived on the earth, that we can now understand what the new covenant's all about, how to enter into a perfect faith. And so here we have the writer now starting to share with us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those are all these men and women that we can identify with our struggles, with our human compromising and our doubts, you name it, we can identify with them. That's why they mean so much to us. We can relate. But the writer is saying, I want to teach you something even more powerful. I'm wanting us as believers to begin to see the reality of Jesus Christ. And so he says here now, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. That word hinders is also speaks about burden, it speaks about a weight, it speaks about can be whatever it may be. It might be grief, it might be pain, it might be sort of broken soul, whatever it may be. He carries on and he says, and the sin that so easily entangles, and it could refer to the great sin of unbelief, okay? But anything that's entangling us, any burdens and weights that we are carrying that are just overwhelming us, God speaking says to us this morning, get rid of that. But I've tried so hard. Man, I've been trying, I've done everything and it's just not working. He says, get rid of it. So if God says get rid of it, then we know it's possible to get rid of it. God cannot lie. And this is what this morning's all about, is to help us to be able to find God's way, His wisdom on how to get rid of all this stuff that we are struggling with in life and not entering into the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. So whatever that may be in our lives, today is a day where God is just helping us and is inviting us to submit to His word this morning. So He says, let us throw off, and it's us, let us. So here we see there's something that you and I are required to be doing. It's something about you and I getting into agreement and submitting ourselves to the authority of the Word of God over here, and says, okay, let us. So I need to submit to Him. I need to yield. I need to make a decision whether I'm going to keep on holding on to all of this, or I'm going to submit and I'm going to get rid of it. And you're going to teach me today how to get rid of it so that I can experience a freedom and the grace that comes through Christ Jesus. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And I think that word so easily entangles is such a, what we can identify with that. You know, sometimes it's like it's so hidden, we don't realize, and suddenly, whoops, we get tangled up by these things. And it, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So here we see an amazing truth that God has prepared a journey for you and I. He's marked a race, He's marked a life for us. And here now, we are in a kingdom, we are in His Son, we have received what Christ has done for us, and He has sent us into this world. We're not of this world. He has sent us into this world that is being shaken. We are in this unshakable kingdom of God. And so now he says, now I've prepared a road for you. I've written your book and I've prepared a road for you, a life journey for you. Now you need to run with perseverance. In other words, this word perseverance is suggesting that it's not going to be easy. The life that you're living is not going to be easy. And Jesus is the example of a life that wasn't easy. People hated him and some loved him. People rejected him, some accepted him. People used him and they only wanted what he could do for them. Others loved him for who he was. And he was constantly being persecuted and eventually he was crucified, etc., etc. So we see Jesus is sharing with us a life that the Father had predestined for him to be able to come and to bring about salvation. It wasn't an easy life. He faced persecution. He faced all these things. He was tempted in every way. We'll look at that now. So you and I, we know that this road, this journey of life in the kingdom of God is not going to be very easy. And so Jesus prayed and he said, Father, protect them from the evil one. Deliver them from the evil one. You see, so if Jesus prayed this on our behalf, we know that we need to look to him now because he's telling us the journey that we need to be able to persevere. Perseverance speaks about the struggles. We're going to have to fuss bait. We're going to have to really hold on to there to be able to run this race that God has set out for you and I. And so he begins to now take it a little bit further. And he says, okay, now, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now a question, because we read this, a question, how easy do you find when you are facing a difficult time to fix your eyes on Jesus? It's not natural. We fix our eyes on the problem. We fix our eyes on ourselves. And so God is saying to us, guys, that's the pattern, that's the habit. And you consume yourself fixing your eyes on all of this. The answer on how to get the victory, I want you to start to learn how to renew your mind so we can start to fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy. And this is where the grace, this is the power of the Holy Spirit helping us because we are in Him and the Holy Spirit wants us to discover life in the realm of God. Remember the word in? It means there that this is where everything operates within. So this scripture operates within Christ Jesus. So as we are in Him by the Holy Spirit, we are in Him. So this truth that we are looking at now operates within Him and we experience the law of the Spirit of life. So it's operating within us because of we in Him, He in us. So now we have an amazing truth over here. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author. Now the word author, again, it doesn't really describe. The word pioneer is a better word because a pioneer is someone that starts and prepares and makes a way and goes ahead and the others now can follow. And this is what Jesus has done. I'm sharing this because not many people will believe that Jesus walked in faith. He's divine. He didn't need to walk in faith. And with that mindset, we don't look at Jesus. But the very name Jesus is his human name. Remember when the angel spoke to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, and he said, you are to name him Jesus. And then Luke, when the angel spoke to Mary, you are to name him Jesus because he'll save these people from their sin. So the name Jesus is his human name. And he's saying, he's using the name Jesus, look to Jesus. Yes, he's fully God, but look to him as fully man and see how he lived a life of faith. Learn from Jesus. That's what the writer is helping us to begin to see Jesus and learn how he lived a life of faith in this world. And that's what he wants to help us to identify. In Hebrews chapter 2, and I read verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, this is referring to Jesus Christ now, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abram's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made, and notice that he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. So here we have, fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus had to be made human, just like you and I, but without sin. And because he suffered, he alone is able to help you and I in our difficult journey that God has marked out for you and I. And this is why he's calling us to now, when we're facing whatever the challenges may be, whatever it may be, don't fix your eyes on that right now. Don't even entertain that. Come and look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He is that merciful high priest who is now able to come and minister, because he is the pioneer of this perfect faith. He is the pioneer of it. And he has made a way that you and I can enter in. Now let's look at that. God created man, Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve lived in perfect faith. They were fully persuaded when God said, go and multiply, do this and all that over there. And they were operating. Perfect faith. Full persuasion. Only knew the goodness of God. Now the enemy comes, Satan comes and tempts, and he deceives them, and they believed a lie. And now they were fully persuaded by what Satan had shared with Eve and what Eve had shared with Adam. So what took place? That perfect faith that they had was no longer perfect. So from that moment onwards, is the unperfect correct English? Imperfect? Yeah. Imperfect faith was our reality. So we were easily persuaded by whatever the case may be. That's the reality of faith. Now here comes Jesus, fully man. And he's now coming as the pioneer of perfect faith, because Adam and Eve messed it up. So Jesus comes and he begins to undo what Adam and Eve did when they doubted God and believed the lie. Remember, Satan is the father of lies. We have a father of truth. So Jesus coming, he is the truth, he is the way. Jesus is coming now, and he dealt with what Adam and Eve did. And in him, he now is modeling for you and I perfect faith. And just as you and I have received the gift of righteousness, we have received Christ's perfect righteousness, his perfection, as a gift. Likewise with his faith, you and I have received Christ's perfect faith as a gift. This is the faith that we've been speaking about, the God faith. Because we are in him. He is in us. We live in his realm. We live in his perfect faith. That's the realm that you and I live. So now, because of his perfect faith, when we are struggling and we are battling and that, look to him. Let us be reminded who Christ is. Let us be reminded that he alone lived a life of perfect faith. And he alone is the one that comes and ministers to us to help us in our time of weakness when we are tempted. I don't know if you've experienced this, and I'm sure you all have, but this is a frequent occurrence in my life when things are tough. And I just get to that place where I say, Lord, I cannot carry on. I really need you to come and minister to me now. And it's not long when the Spirit of God imparts perfect faith. When the Spirit of God comes and just brings in joy and hope and vision and future, ministers to me. That's what this is speaking about. Fix your eyes on Jesus when things are getting tough. Not on the problem. There's no faith in that problem. Faith is in Jesus. He is the author. He is the perfecter. He is the pioneer of this faith. So this is what he's sharing now to you and I, because things are shaking, things are taking place, and we can be shaken quite easily. And he's saying, no, my children, just as the Father has sent me, so I've sent you into this world. Just as I'm not of this world, so are you not of this world. You're in a kingdom, an unshakable kingdom. And although we're speaking a reality of a kingdom that we're in, he's also speaking about the fulfillment, the total outworking of the total reality of his kingdom that will still manifest more and more as the ages go, and we see in the book of Revelation. And then he speaks about the reality, oh, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. So we have an amazing example. So the writer is saying, the most excellent, the standard of faith, the standard of what it is to be in Christ Jesus, what it is to be a child of God, is Jesus Christ. He is the one that we look to. He is the one that we learn from. Not only did he deal with the fall of Adam and Eve, and not only is Jesus now the pioneer of this perfect faith, but he also completed his whole life in this perfect faith. He never failed. When he was persecuted, he lived in the total assurance. So Jesus says in John 14, often we read it, but let me read this in John 14, right at the very last verse there, where he says that Satan has no hold of him. And he says over here, I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. So we see how Jesus is totally confident in what his Father is saying to him. Jesus is living a life of full persuasion that what the scriptures have been written concerning his life, concerning his death, concerning his resurrection, is going to take place. Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. He is living in total faith that what the Father shares, Jesus says, be healed, and that person's healed. Never doubted once his Father's ability. Never, never, never. He's modeling perfect faith for you and I. He's showing us what he has achieved for you and I, that we can receive. This is the gift of faith that we've been speaking about for so many months now. So he showed us this. He never doubted his Father. So he perfected. He is the pioneer and the perfecter, right until his very end, when he was crucified and then when he was ascended and sat at the right hand of his Father. He is the one that we look to. So let's carry on. I think Paul sums it up in that Galatians 5 verse 6. Let me read that. Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. So we see here Jesus, his incredible love for the Father, his love for you and I, and his walk of faith. And Paul sums this up in Galatians 5 and verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." And this is the example of Jesus. His love for the Father, his love for mankind, his faith in his Father, and now he's living it out. So that incredible faith is being expressed through his love. Our example. Fix your eyes on him. So there's a mighty decision here to make for us, because as I shared earlier on, we've got a choice. I can fix my eye on my problem. I can fix my eye on an area in my soul dimension that I'm battling with. I can fix my eye on my mind that just can't get renewed and it's stuck in a certain area. I can fix my mind and all these things. Or I can listen and say, "Lord, I submit to you and I fix my eyes on you. And I follow what you have to share with me through your word. I'm going to be fully persuaded in what you are going to be sharing from now onwards. And I want to walk in that truth, because that truth is what you're sharing is going to be part of my incredible victory of being set free." Jesus says, or Paul, the writer of here, says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. But he's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame." This joy is not really speaking about the joy that he's experiencing now while he was living on this earth. It's a joy that he was looking at of the outcome of his death and resurrection. That's the joy he's speaking about. See, that's faith. Because faith sees something in the future. Again, he's sharing with us how he lived in faith. He was looking at your and my salvation. He was looking ahead of the millions and millions of people that are going to be born again and set free from Satan and being enslaved to the fear of death. He was looking forward to seeing you and I being reconciled to the Father. He was looking forward to the victory that you and I can experience over the power of sin and over death. That's the joy. That's the faith that Jesus lived in. And that is why, as we go through this and we realize, "God, I've got all these issues that I'm facing now, but you're showing me, if I fix my eyes on Jesus, the author, the pioneer of my faith, he has modeled faith and now he leads me all the time. I can follow him. He's the one that leads all the time, that so many more millions and millions and millions of people, we can follow you, Jesus, as you inspire us, as you work in us, as you minister to us as a great high priest and to help us in our weaknesses." There's hope. So all of a sudden I don't look at my problem, but now I've got joy because I know what God's word says. So my joy that I have and I'm looking forward to is because I believe. See, I'm walking in faith. I'm now participating in what Christ has done in his death and resurrection. And I know there's an outcome. So when I start to doubt, when things are going even worse and worse and worse, and "God, you have spoken," and I start to doubt, I don't look at the situation. I fix my eyes on you, Jesus, because you're the one understanding everything by your powerful word. Authority. So, I trust that we will learn more and more to not fix our eyes on the problem, but on our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a life skill. That doesn't happen easy. That's your and my participation this morning. Amen. Father, we want to thank you this morning as we sit around and we just break bread and drink the wine and just again reflect you, Jesus. But today we want to thank you, Lord, because as we have communion with you, we are in the place where you are sharing what you did in dealing with the unbelief in Adam and Eve. Thank you that you dealt with that unbelief so that we could live in belief in you. Thank you that not only did you deal with the unrighteousness of Adam and Eve and all the sin that came into the world because of their disobedience. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you righteousness comes. And we have received your incredible gift of righteousness, likewise with this faith. Teach us today, Lord Jesus, as we sit with you and we have a meal together with you. Open up the victory of your perfect faith for us. Open up the reality of you being the pioneer of this. There's no other faith that we can grab hold of. That's not our pioneer. You are the pioneer of this faith. And it's in you, Lord Jesus, as we have received by you this incredible gift from the Father of your faith, that we want to learn how to live in it. Holy Spirit, help us. Minister to us. Jesus, I'm very aware this morning of how you lived with on the earth and how you walked with the Father and how you were totally persuaded in what was written in the Scriptures concerning your life. It's all going to come to pass. Never a moment of doubt. Never a moment of compromising. You never compromised for a moment. Totally a man of truth. Man of living in divine persuasion. And we want to thank you for that. Because of you, we have a hope. Because of you, we are able to enter and participate in a faith that is not broken, a faith that is powerful, a faith that has got everything to be able to bring about what you're wanting to achieve in and through us. And I'm asking today, Father, the pathway, the race that you have prepared for each and every one of us. I'm asking today, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, the things that have entangled us and have tripped us up. Today I'm asking, Jesus, as we eat together, that today will be a day where that gets broken off us. We acknowledge that, we confess our sins, we confess these things, so that we can find, wow, God, that's been taken off through your blood and your sacrifice. So today I thank you, Lord, and I release your grace over us today to minister in this area. Let this time of having the communion with you, Lord Jesus, not just be a time, but let this be the moment where we can really experience what you have done. So our faith, our persuasion is in you, Lord, in this area, and we want to thank you.